Lord, bless you all this morning. You love the Lord? You appreciate His goodness, sunshine, good weather. I realize there's a lot of retirees here this morning, but sometimes it happens, I get 2 weeks holiday off over this period, and get into it and you start waking up late and enjoying the sunshine and go to the beach and enjoy that sort of thing and go fishing and things like that. You're sort of like, oh, I could get used to this. You know, but after a few days, sort of wears off and you're like, this will never satisfy. This will never satisfy. And you start looking towards home and say, Lord, you are my satisfying portion. And we just love Him this morning. Shall we just bow our heads and welcome Him here? Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, who are we, Lord, that we would come before you, Lord, this morning, Lord? We're just corruptible men, Lord, but we just thank you, Lord, and give you all the praise and glory, Lord, this morning for your precious blood, Lord, that we might approach into your presence, Lord, and just to know you, Lord, and have your light shine upon us this morning, Lord, that we might comprehend your goodness, Lord, and your saving grace unto us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for each one here, Lord, as we walk in this new year by faith, Lord, that, Lord, be as your Son, Lord, in the garden, but not our will, Lord, but yours be done in each life this morning, and Lord, in my own also, Lord, that we might search for the leading of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and just have your way in each heart this morning, and those that might still be coming, Lord, and those that might be listening in, Lord, I just pray that there would be their prayer this year, Lord Jesus, that we would just be led by you. We just thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's sing number 217, At the Cross. Thank you. burden of my heart rolled away. And it was Jesus who said, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives you. We don't want that sort of peace. It's just superficial. But when things go wrong and the trials come, the comfort we get from his word and his promises, knowing that he's able to keep them. Let's sing number 229, I Serve a Risen Saviour. I serve a risen let's sing number 247. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Thank you. certainly will. Let's sing number 251. We're marching to Zion. Any items this morning? Did you have Sister Bonnie? We'll have that now, and then we'll have testimonies. Thank you, Sister Pauline.
Actually come with a song prepared, but when we were playing this before church, it just spoke to me, because that's my prayer this year, is to get closer to the Lord.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
falling. Isn't that all our prayer this year? To get closer to the Lord? It's the only place we're going to be satisfied. Is there any testimonies this morning? One from... Thank you, Brother Paul.
God bless you, everybody. Actually, I've got two testimonies. The first one is that my son Michael, while he doesn't walk closely with God, he knows. And a few months before Christmas, one of his dogs damaged its leg and they ended up having to take it to the vet. And I said to him, have you prayed for him? Oh, no, Mummy, said, I haven't. I said, well, I have. You ought to. And he said, yeah, I will. Well, the dog's made a marvellous recovery. It's an injury that's not meant to be recovered, but it has made a marvellous recovery. And then on Christmas Day, Michael's wife, Jess, has planned a huge Christmas dinner for all her family. First time ever at their home. And the weather was rubbish. And I said to Michael, and I said to Tom, well, I'm praying for fine weather. It doesn't matter what it says. I'm going to pray for fine weather, and we're going to have fine weather. Well, we arrived up there, and she had 25 people coming for lunch, and they're up in the hills, and they get more rainfall than down here. And we arrived, and it was drizzly and overcast. And by the time everybody was there, it was brilliant sunshine. As everybody knows, God provided us with a wonderful Christmas day. And I was sitting at the table, and Michael said, I can't believe this weather. And I was sitting opposite him, and I just said to him, you get what you ask for, Michael. And he said, you're right, Mum. So thank you, Lord, for all the blessings.
Is there any others? Oh, Sister June.
Well, I have a very dear friend in Mackay, Sister Lavina, who's been really faithful in that to our family. But she was telling me in a letter recently that last year she had a stroke, and it started coming on while she was driving home from church. And she said she knows it was just the Lord's angel watching over her, because there weren't any other cars on the road, and she was able to get home somehow. And I won't go into all the details, but she was taken to hospital, and they told her that because of that, like, her right side was paralysed and all sorts of things. And they said, well, you might come out of it, but you won't be able to do things for yourself. You won't be able to cook or drive or walk without a walker and all that sort of thing, those negative things that they told her, which could have been true medically, they probably were. But she said much prayer went up for her, and I wasn't even aware of this at the time, and a lot of people were praying. And she said the Lord amazingly brought her through, and she said she's so well, she can do everything herself. She doesn't need any help. She can cook, walk, garden, everything that we do. And she had a physiotherapist, and the physiotherapist took her to a stroke victims gathering, support, you know, for each other. And when she walked in, they said, what are you doing here? This is for victims, for support of stroke people. And the physiotherapist said she has had a stroke, but, you know, she's well, whatever she said, I can't remember. But and Lavina said that if it wasn't for the fact that the hospital had her on record as having a stroke, no one would ever know. She said she is so well. So she's really praising the Lord, and I'm joining her in praise, because nothing's too hard for our Lord.
Amen. See, the miracle working God does the impossible. And that's the funny thing. He's got his witnesses everywhere. And it's plain for the world to see. But do they accept it?
No.
Not. Is there any others? I've just got a small one. I was thinking about whether the Lord had ever failed me. Couldn't fail him. I was trying to look for it. When my little boy gets sick, he was sick the other day. At a high temperature, hard to glaze the eyes, high temperature, hard to point what it is, you know. Just lay hands on him, Lord brings him through.
Hallelujah.
You know, and that's many times. You know, I got there's a bug going around here. Last week sometime, quite sick. You know, the Lord brings you through those things too.
Thank you, Lord.
When like, you know, a stroke victim, there's nowhere else for them to turn. When the medical says no deal, you know. But if you're Christian, you know the Lord. He says
Hallelujah.
All things are possible.
Yes, Lord, we glorify
you. Amen. So is there no others?
Thank you, Lord.
I believe there was only one new prayer request on the internet, and that was for a car for Sister Angie in the States, I suppose, for a new car in 2019, that the Lord would provide her that. I'll ask Brother Lee if he would come and bring these, if there was any other in the congregation or... Okay. I seem to remember her before the Lord. As we said, nothing is impossible for our Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Shall we just bow our heads? Lord Jesus, we just come to you because you are the one we should come to,
Amen.
Need to come to.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, what a privilege we have to know that we can talk to Almighty God, that we have an appointment with you, Lord, at any time, day or night, whatever age, wherever we live, we have an appointment with you, and you never, ever fail us. You're right there. Even a new person that doesn't know Christian things can make a decision that I want to talk to God, and you're there. And it's true and it's real. And we're very, very grateful, Lord, for the things that you've done for us,
yes.
are doing for us. You have a plan.
Yes.
And, Lord, sometimes we can't see it. Probably most times we don't see it. But we can see the benefit by looking back and say, well, I don't do this anymore. I'm different from that. And I'm very pleased that this happened and that didn't. All of these things, it's because God is in control.
Yes.
And Lord, we come to this church. This church doesn't save us, but we have a place of worship. And we know, Lord, that you are here.
Thank you, Lord.
Even if our numbers aren't here, you're here.
Yes.
And you never miss. You never miss. You want to hear from us. Lord, we remember the people on the internet, on the CDs, Lord, wherever they are, at their time of listening or being part of it. You're there with them, right there with them.
Yes.
And Lord, we just pray for their needs too.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray for the unspoken prayer requests that we all have from time to time. The things that we prayed for last week, the things that we prayed for last night. Did we pray this morning?
Yes.
For our meeting with you on
yes.
Sunday morning
yes.
at our time of listening. Lord, we love you. Lord, I just pray at this time for two people. One is my neighbor, which he told me yesterday that he's going to Waikato for a heart bypass. It's Graham Ritchie, Lord. He doesn't know the Lord yet. And I didn't actually do anything about it, telling him it wasn't a convenience time and place, half on the road and half of vehicles going past. And I thought, I'll pray for him,
yeah.
and that will be sufficient. I just pray for him. He's actually going up to Waikato today. Lord, I pray for the unspoken prayer requests
yes.
that we all have, no matter where they are, how often it happens. You're the one we come to,
yes.
and we know that you care.
Yes.
It's not just some duty. You care.
You
love us. You put our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life before you even built the world. Because you knew who would receive what you were going to do for them or did do for them. We're very grateful, Lord. There was another one in my mind and it's just slipped my mind at the moment. And I just pray for them, whoever they are, wherever they are. Anybody that knows that they have something before the Lord, God knows. We can't do anything without you not knowing. We can't hide from you, so we don't even try. And anybody that might be out there that's trying to hide this or that from the Lord, don't bother.
Mm.
He already knows.
Yes.
And he already died for you. He already loves you.
Hallelujah.
And he will see you through.
Thank you,
We're very grateful, Lord, that we have a place of worship. And we've got a building where we can meet, and people of like mind are part of the family of God. And we're so very grateful for that. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Not forgetting the people, Lord, that we call on, like to those there in Malaysia and Singapore and many other countries, Australia and America and Germany, many places, Lord, we do pray for generally, but you know everyone intimately, and we're grateful for that. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
So we'll just stand and sing one more that is well with my soul.
be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Who loves the Lord?
That's good. I shouldn't be preaching to so many people. It makes me nervous. It's a lot more out there, I can tell you now. God bless you all. We welcome you to the service today, and we pray that God will speak to us through his precious word. Who loves the word of God? It's a balm to the soul. It really does help. And just one moment, folks. I think I'm from the cold countries because I feel the heat. I'm sorry about the heat, Brother Tim. That was the hot air conditioning on. I apologise. But Brother Brian's not here. He'd normally be keeping an eye on that. But we're all good now. Everyone feeling all comfortable? Everyone comfortable with the heat or cold? You all right? You too cold? Oh. Oh, you all right, though? Okay, otherwise? Oh, that's good. We want to be comfortable. We hear the word of the Lord. And may he bless us today as we come around his word. Praise the Lord. Now, Brother Brad Burgess from Louisville, Kentucky, sends his love to you all. I think he'd like to come here sometime. He really would. So just keep that in before the Lord. Brother Brad Burgess, who's preached here many times. And also, next month, we're expecting Brother Brian Fred. Is that on? Oh, it is. Sorry. Brother Brian Freeborn will be here as well. About the 15th, around about that date. And we're going to have four services, Friday night, Saturday night, and two on Sunday. But we'll clarify that. We're going to send invitations out to everybody, and hopefully we'll get a few come. Some have already indicated they are interested, so time will tell. As Brother Lee often says, they've got to vote from their feet. Okay, you're coming, Lee.
His wife, Sharon.
Yeah.
And he mentioned a number of people that were here and wanted to know all about our family. And he knows that he should be more active in what we would think he should be. And I said that I'll continue to pray for him because I told him I prayed for him frequently. And his brother, what's his name?
Samuel, yeah.
Sam and George and his mother and all that. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention that because I said that I would. And he's still loving the Lord.
Praise
he knows that he has a bit of vacancy at our church here.
Praise the Lord. That's good. Well, may the Lord bless him and draw him close to him. And we drive past George's house all the time. I always think about him. One of these days I'm just going to turn in. God bless you, George. Great to see you again. I tell you, we're missing you in fellowship, and just try and encourage them to come along because I really believe deep down they love the Lord. My wife saw Sister Y the other day, eh? And they're always sweet. But you know, we need fellowship, especially as the day approaches. See what's happening in the world everywhere. We know we're in the last days. So may God cause us to be found ready for that glorious hour. And I just pray that he'll speak to us as we open his word to Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Shall we just stand for our reading? Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Of course, we know that's the early church. He killed James, brother of John, with a sword. Isn't that awful when you think about it? You know, sorry? Brother Lee. Yeah, exactly. If somebody killed him, is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. You're in sync with me, brother. I was going to say that, and you'd stop me saying it. That's wonderful. That's good news. So, but that's the persecution could come. Things are going to change big time, I'm telling you. We see it in the world. It's anti-God. It's just everywhere. And because he saw it pleased the Jews that they'd killed him, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Praise God. It stopped for a minute. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, I want to say right now, prayer changes things. Brothers and sisters, we pray, we'll see action. If we're not praying, we're doing everything else, we won't see action. But let us pray. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell from his hands. Who believed that? You do? You can do it now. He will. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not, or knew not, that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when he was past the first and second ward, they are like gates, they came to an iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. I just think this is absolutely wonderful. Who believes this is wonderful? The angel of the Lord who's here now. And which opened to them on its own accord, and they went out and passed on through the street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, I think I would have too, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. And we're just praying, and we'll just leave it there. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Shall we just ask him to bless it to our hearts? Lord Jesus, we know that you are here, Lord. We know, Lord, that your word is being read, and we need your Holy Spirit to make it live in our hearts. I pray that you'll do that this morning. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you'll make this real. In the name of Jesus Christ, for your glory, amen. You may be seated. I just want to say, I don't want to go into a lot of detail because I don't want to take extra time. But I was reading this morning Brother Charles Spurgeon's normal reading he would have today, which is the 6th. And he laid out my entire sermon. That is before God. He knows I'm telling you the truth. He laid out this entire sermon for me. And I'd written it a week ago. I had laid on my heart a week ago, and I'd been thinking about it. I knew nothing about the reading, because you only see the reading when the day comes up. Then it comes up and you read it. So I believe that was the Lord, and I thank him for it. And I want to title this, God Knows...
and cares about your every need. Now, brother and sister, it's not that he can care, he does care. He cares about your every need. You know that, Sister Bubs. He wonderfully undertook with you. Keep praising him. Thank him for his goodness. And so I want to entitle that, God Knows and Cares About Your Every Need. Now, at the height of supernatural dealings with us, God knows and cares about our every need. Now, I just want to bring this to your attention. God is not too high and too big and too wonderful not to care about you. And in Peter's case, even though the supernatural power of the angel was there, it released his chains. He must have been standing with chains on, and they fell off. That happened. They fell off. The chains fell off. You may have chains on this morning. God can take those chains off you. Hallelujah. And the chains fell off, and the angel kept the soldiers, the guards, snoozing, sleeping. They didn't even hear the chains. They were way gone. And the prison doors of their own accord opened, and they walked straight through it, went into the city. And when it came to Peter, God was mindful about Peter's natural need. I just want to bring this to your attention. This is something that really quickened to me. There's an angel standing. There's a guard sleeping. There's a chain just fallen off. And the angel didn't say, I am sent from the presence of Almighty God. No. He thought about Peter. He said, Peter, put your sandals on. You need to put your sandals on because we're going outside. And Peter probably didn't even know that was going to happen. But he put his sandals on. He says, you better put your garment on because it's cold out there. Maybe it's going to be a bit cooler than here, but you need to put your jacket on. So the angel waited while Peter put on his sandals and put on his garment. Now, I just want to say this, that God cares about the things you have need of. He stopped and he thought about sandals and garments. A mighty angel from the presence of God. Do you think that's wonderful? I do. I think it's incredibly wonderful that God cares about these things. And God knew Peter would need these practical things to go outside, as we said. So this is so wonderful. How God cares for us. I want to tell you this morning, you present and you listening, wherever you are, that God cares for you. Sorry, he does. More than you'll ever understand. You may have been dead this morning if God hadn't cared for you today. We don't know. Sometimes he causes us to avoid things, or he steps in and moves into your life because God cares for you. He's interested in the little things of our life. That is amazing. The God of heaven, the God that's put up 200 billion galaxies out there, cares for Peter Curie. He does, Peter. He cares for you. He really does. And I think that's so wonderful. So we see here, these things are very wonderful. He's interested about the little thing. Now, one time, I was listening to a tape, and it was in the discernment line. And people were coming up to this discernment line, and the angel of God was standing right next to Brother Branham. He said so. He must have been, obviously. revealing the thoughts of the people's hearts that he knew nothing about. He was talking about people in another country, or your auntie, or your whatever, and he just laid it out, and their name, and where they lived. So the angel of the Lord was standing right next to him. And in the next one in the prayer line was a little girl, came up with a mother, and she had a need. Now listen to this. With the angel standing in the mighty presence of the angel standing there, and as people walked up into that presence, often tears just form their eyes because they feel that holy presence. Who's ever felt the holy presence of God? It's so wonderful. It's just unexplainable. It's precious. And when they came, the mother and daughter came up to the prayer line, Brother Branham went down to the little girl and said, and how is school today? How is school today? It wasn't sandals or a garment. But God cared for the little girl through the prophet of God and said, how is school today? And had a little conversation with him. Because God cares about little children. Who believes that? So if he cares about little kids, he cares about you and I. God's interested in the littlest things and knows our needs. You know, when the prophet Samuel went out to anoint Saul to be king of Israel, he came up to Saul and he was anointing him with oil. This is a very major thing because God had told Samuel to go and anoint Saul to be king of Israel. There's the man, he said, he's going to rule Israel. So he said, you go and anoint him with oil. And he went up to him. Now, in the midst of this happening, Saul had a concern on his heart. And the concern was he'd lost his donkeys. Now, that doesn't sound much to us, an old donkey, but it was probably more than one. And he had lost the asses. He could not find them. Don't ask me the difference between the ass and the donkey, because I don't know. But I was thinking of the big ears. And when he came up to Saul, and he said to Saul, and he knew who Samuel was, he came up and he said to Saul, don't worry about your donkeys, brother Saul. They're already found. Now, who sees? I see something in that. That God cared about Saul's concern. He said, your donkeys, brother, are okay. They have found them. Don't worry about your donkeys. But God has chosen you to be king of Israel. Can you see the contrast? Between a major appointment by God and a little side issue of Saul's, God cared about him. What I'm saying is that God, in his bigness and power, is still able to stay connected with you. You know you can't pay your bills, or you know you're having a difficult time. God cares about you. Hallelujah. It's really wonderful. And Jesus said the same thing about our Heavenly Father. We read from Matthew 6:31. He says, wherefore, take no thought. Now this is the key. Don't spend all your day thinking about yourself and all your problems and no time for God. Now listen here. Therefore, take no thought saying, what we shall eat, what we can have for tea tonight, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? I've got to get some new dresses. Take no thought, he said, the Lord. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows you have needs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that wonderful? But our human carnal thoughts are always in the way. Does anyone have any carnal thoughts? You do. See, I knew we're connected, Tim. I always have carnal thoughts. And we need God to help us because they really can get in the way. God is, in his sovereign power, is always mindful of your needs. And that is wonderful. He's concerned about you. He knows what you're thinking this morning. He knows what you're thinking right now, too. You can't hide from the Lord. I don't want to hide from the Lord. Who wants to be open to the Lord? You're open anyway if you don't know it. He sees straight through us all. So why do we spend so much time on natural things at the expense of heavenly things where it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God? And all these other things that you need, which he knows about, will be added unto you. But our minds are full of this, what we're going to do next, what we have to buy. No, look, brothers and sisters, spend time with God. I'm telling you the truth. You want to be happy, spend time with the Lord. God knows you need food. God knows you need clothes. God knows you need other things. So he's very mindful of our bodily needs. The Lord is very aware that you need to be feeling well. He knows that. He's not ignorant of how you feel. He knows when you're weary and tired or sickly or not feeling too good. And he cares about that. Who believes he cares about you? He cares about every one of you. He's not ignorant of these things. Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Sometimes even while we're waiting for our healing to be manifested, God cares in the meantime. He does. He knows that you're struggling. He cares. He knows you have a sore leg. He knows about that sore leg. He knows about your sore arm or whatever it is. God knows everything about it and cares about it. He knows everything. He knows when a sparrow falls. Now, sparrows, well, I love them actually, but people don't put much value on a sparrow. They're so cute. But listen to the word of God says in Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? I think that's about a quarter of a cent. Big business, eh? A quarter of a cent for a sparrow. Two sparrows. Two sparrows for a quarter of a cent. You'd need a lot of sparrows to make money. And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. What is saying, without your father knowing about it. He knows how many sparrows in Gisborne fell. Who believes that? Yes, he does. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some have smaller numbers than others. We know that. But he knows how many you have, Lee. He knows how many I have. He knows everything about you. Fear ye not, therefore, the Lord says, ye are more value than many sparrows. I think that's so wonderful. So God does have a job for you to do. I want to bring this to your attention. You're not here on planet Earth to have a good time. Or trying to make a survival. You all have a purpose in life. God knows about you. Brothers and sisters have a job to do. We're not just like snails. or something just on the ground. With, you know, God has you here for a purpose. You must understand that. Who believes this? Amen. I know it. He knows if he has something for you to do, whether it be small or great. He knows you need to be equipped with strength to do it. If God has called you to be a witness, he'll give you strength to do it. He also knows you need sometimes the means to do things. You know, he supplies everything you have need of. He knows you have a family to feed and to care for. He knows that. God is fully aware of your family situation. Do you believe it? And you know what? God cares about all these things. He cares about it. He cares about lost donkeys. He cares about a sandal being put on a foot. God cares. We think, oh, God's so great, and he is. And so big and so supernatural and so bright in the heavens, but he cares about sparrows. He cares about the hairs on your head. I love them. Who loves them? So wonderful. So that's why the Word of God says, cast all your cares upon him. Because he's more than able to handle your cares. Instead of running to somebody else and, oh, help me, go to the Lord. Say, Lord, you know what I have need of. You see this need, I'm coming to you. Because I know that God cares for me. We just read it. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And we know that the word care translates to all anxieties. You might be an anxious person. You're always anxious about things instead of casting it on the Lord. Saying, Lord, I give it to you. Don't try and work stuff out. You'll never do it. He's more than able to sort it for you. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So if God cares for you, why need you to care too? That's a waste. If you start caring about when God's caring about it. If God's taking full of all your cares, what are you caring about? Cast it on him, for he careth for you. Let us be done with fretful fear. People fear about everything. They fear about this, they fear about. Don't do that. Leave it to the Lord. Give it to God. If you trust in him for your soul, can't you trust him for your body also? Because he did everything at the same time. When he went to Calvary, he died for your sins. He died for your healing of your sicknesses. We spend too much time, I'm sorry to say this, I hope I don't offend you, but we spend too much time on ourselves. It's all about me. It's all about Howard. It's all about my wife. It's about my house. It's about my car. It's about this. It's about that. And God's left out in the cold often. Remember, if he sends you, he will equip you for the job. He knew Peter needed sandals and a garment. He knows that. He's very mindful about that. So let us get our mind on Christ. Get our thoughts consumed with him. Some might, I don't think so, but some might be thinking what they're going to have for lunch right now. That's what we're talking about. I've got to be careful when I say that. Many people come up to me at other places and say, I was thinking about that actually. And you said it. Thinking about your lunch, the roast dinner, or whatever it is. Brother and sister, we need to think these things over. If we're always thinking, we need this, We need that. We cannot have God in our thoughts. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 4. Philippians 2, verse 4 to 5. Who's got their Bibles here today? It's good to look it up sometimes. It says this: look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to think like the Lord thinks. I love the scripture in Isaiah, which says, Isaiah 26, verse 3. I know this scripture very well. And the reason I know it very well is because I got it above my bed. And I just have to go like this. And I can read it upside down even. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Who wants perfect peace? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26, verse 3. That is a wonderful scripture. I encourage you to quote that each day. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. If you're not having peace and you're running around, you're caring about this, and you're caring about that, anxious about this, anxious about that, say, hold on, Lord, your word says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusteth in you. Now, if you do that, start thinking about God. Put you off the list. Let God be on the list. Israel in the wilderness. What an example. They were the apple of God's eye. Who believes that? Oh, man, he went to a lot of trouble to get them out of there. Out of Egypt. But I want you to think on this. God embarked on taking 2.5 million people into the wilderness. Now let's stop and think about this. It's a lot, Murray. It's a lot of people. It's more than Auckland. It's almost as many as New Zealand, almost. He took us all into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, there was no motels. There was no hotels. There was no restaurants. There were scorpions and thistles and everything else on there, snakes. God took them in there. But God was absolutely aware of their need. He says, oh, now come on, you're going to have to be tough. I'm going to take you and you just follow me, follow the light, follow the cloud and just keep walking and you'll be right. No, no, God knew they had needs. And in this walk, God knows we have needs. It's very real to me, brother and sister. I'm not just saying this. It's real to me. God knows I have needs. And he cares. Isn't that wonderful, Sister Mill? He cares for you. It's really wonderful. And he knows they all needed food. He knew their clothes would naturally wear out. God, he thinks of everything. He knew their clothes would wear out. He knew they needed food. There was no restaurants. There's no bars or things they could go and get food from. There was no shopping malls either. But God had other arrangements. And he has other arrangements for you. He saw to it that their clothes did not wear out. Think of that. No more new dresses, Pauline. The dress you got on is fine. Get you all the way for 40 years. Isn't that amazing? 40 years. Like 40 years their clothes never wore out. Thus saith the word of God. Doesn't matter how many times they got down a hill and ran on rocks or whatever, they never wore out. Wonderful. He had other arrangements for you and for us, for me. He's got everything arranged. Your light, Brother Peter, is totally arranged for. God has everything ready for you. Isn't that wonderful? That is true. It's God in action. He doesn't say, oh, just for the children of Israel back in Exodus. That's where I did it, but I don't. He does it every day for his children. He's watching over you. Praise be to God. Let's say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When it came to food, remember there's no restaurants. You couldn't go down the fish and chip shop. Nothing. They had family, they had babies and children. What did God do? He ordered the ovens of heaven to send down angels' food. Do you know that human beings can eat angels' food? Who believes that? Can. We're going to read this in Psalm 78. Though he had commanded the clouds from heaven above and opened the doors of heaven, he would have gone right into where they were cooking. He rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. And man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. So we don't have to go hungry. And I don't care where you are in the world. You may not be in a privileged country. Maybe as New Zealand or America or some of these other nations, but I can tell you, God knows how to feed you. If he's God, he's still God. He's got a way of doing it. Who believes he can do that today? If needed. And as I said before, we don't know what's coming, but one day God may have to feed us. And we've had many wonderful testimonies of food that's been provided for the saints in other countries where there was no food. And God filled their bowls with rice or whatever it is that they needed. And it never went down. There's one sister over there. It's a famous testimony. I think I've heard from Tony Admiral or somebody like that. And they saw where the bowl of rice never diminished for weeks. Might have been for months. I know it was for a long time. Because the sister believed God would provide. Do you know your bank account cannot diminish if God's watching over it? Who believes that? Amen. He's able to do it. You say, how? He knows how to do it. For God cares for you. He knows you have needs. And that's what he did to the children of Israel. That angel's food sent down each night. We may have to trust in God for these things one day, I believe. Not only did God told the people, he also told the people how much to collect. I want you to get so much for your family, and how many in your family. God cared. And he knew exactly how much food they were going to need. How many children you got, mother and father, and he told them how much to collect. They weren't to collect too much, and they weren't to collect too little. But God gave them the formula, and it worked. God cares. Hallelujah. God cares. Knows what you have need of. In Matthew 6 we read Jesus saying this, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, going over and over again all about this, all of it. Don't do that. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. It's not how loud you shout or how much you talk. God is faithful and will answer your need. Just ask him. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask him. God knows you need a new car. Maybe this person needs a new car. They look to the Lord and not to people. God knows how to provide a new vehicle for them before you even ask. Do you believe the word of God? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you believe the word of God? Say amen.
Amen.
Please don't leave me standing here. It's really great to hear people respond back to the word of God. We sing that lovely song, He Careth for You. through sunshine or shadow, he careth for you. When they came to cross the Red Sea, do you think God says, now, some of you are going to have to, there's plenty of wood up there, maybe make some rafts and things. He knew that they could not swim with babies in their arms. The Red Sea was very deep. So what did he do? He removed the water. Who believes he can remove the water today? The Bible says they walked on dry ground. It wasn't boggy or muddy. The Bible says the north wind blew all night. It dried it all out. And they walked across the Red Sea. For God cares. They could carry their babies, not have to swim. For God cares. Absolute evidence that God cares about our needs. He cares about your every need today. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I love him. Who loves the Lord? With all your heart. He wants to know you love him because he loves you. It's time we spent more time thinking on him than ourselves. But he wants us to ask him. We don't have it because we don't ask. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. We don't even ask. We don't even consult him because we're always thinking about us. So, Lord Jesus, I know you know what I have need of. This is the situation. Would you please help me here, Lord? Now, the Bible says before I ask, you're already sending the answer. That song you sing, the answer's on the way. I suppose you've been thinking about that half the time. The answer's on the way. If you're feeling weary and tired, who feels weary and tired? Four. There's only five of us here. Six. Oh, they're getting more and more. We get weary and tired. As you get older, you get more weary and tireder. That right, Sister Anna? We do. We all get tired and weary. And you know what? God cares. Ask him to strengthen you. He knows when you feel that you're not feeling that well. Not as well as you could be. God knows that and he cares about that. I love him with all my heart. He's a faithful Lord. In Isaiah 40:31, it says this, talking about getting strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So you see, brother and sister, if we're weary and tired, sometimes we need to spend more time with the Lord. Because the promise is, if you wait upon the Lord, you shall be strengthened. But of all he cares about, he does care about our spiritual being. Not just a physical, not just a natural, not just our bodies. And he cares about all that. He cares for everything. He cares for sparrows. And brother and sister, he cares for everything, but he cares about your spiritual well-being. He knows how we feel spiritually. Isn't that wonderful? Who has a confidence in the Lord this morning? He knows some people struggle to get closer to God. He knows about that. He's not out in the way out somewhere, nowhere. God knows that you may be struggling to get closer to God. When really he has provided for us to enter in. If we are sincere, all we need to do is say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to help me. Ask and you shall receive. Remember what Jesus said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is number one, the kingdom of God. That's where our hearts should be fixed. That's where we should be meditating and dwelling upon, dreaming about. In Luke 11:13 it says, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You want the Holy Spirit? Who wants the Holy Ghost? Ask him. I want more and more of him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For this year, 2019, that we've just entered into, I guess it's going to go fast or faster than the last one. Let us get our priorities in order. Don't go through another year of just tacking God on the end of your life. Put him first place. Seek the kingdom of God first. Don't try and work out all your problems. Say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God knows you want the Holy Ghost, and he will give it to you. But you have to be sincere, and you've got to be honest about it. Lord, I really do. We need to really ask him with all our heart, Lord, I want a real baptism of the Spirit. I want one. I'm telling you now. People say, oh, Brother Howard, you got the Holy Ghost. That may be true. Not maybe, it is. But I want more of God. I want to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that when he comes, my body be changed and I'll be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. Who wants that experience? That's the only way you can get there, not by coming to our church or any other church, but be filled with the Spirit. And God cares and knows that you want that. Who's glad he cares for you? Let's sing that song, Sister June, He Careth For You. Nancy or Peter or whoever's playing. He careth for you through sunshine or shadow. He careth for you. Thanks, Peter. Shall we just stand? He should care for one another. If we have the same spirit, the Bible says, let not a man think about his own things, but think on the other things of others. In other words, see if somebody else needs help and somebody else needs prayer. That's what we should be doing, brother and sister. I know we do sometimes, but we need to do it more. He careth for you. Brother Lee, would you like to come just close? He careth for you. He careth for you.
this sermon, I just thinking about it, what does the Lord look for in return? We should be thinking about Him, because He deserves it and what He has done and will do for us. But we need to acknowledge Him. That's what He wants, that He gets acknowledged. It's like a little child in a family. Mummy, mummy, or daddy, daddy, about this or that. The kid wants to be recognized from the parent. And I believe that God wants to be recognized, in my case, from me. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we are very grateful for your love, your mercy, your grace. And as I was praying earlier on, Lord, we can't hide from you. If we've done something amiss or not where we should be, tell you about it. You already know. So let's not hide, Lord, me included. I don't want to hide, Lord, because I can't. And I don't want to anyway. You already know it. We're very grateful, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, I just think about when I was talking yesterday to Brother Willie Echo. Lord, he was receiving what was being said. And even his wife Sharon was listening to Barbara. And he just felt there was something that he needed to do. And I told him it's the Lord that you need to acknowledge. I also told him, because it's true, it's not what we can provide for you, Willie. It's you what might be able to provide for me. Because we're all part of the family of God. There's no one greater than another. And Lord Jesus, everybody has a place. The Lord knows it. The Lord places it. And we give you all a praise and a glory. Just be with us, Lord, as we close the service, Lord. Be with us at our luncheon and the fellowship. Bless those that weren't able to be here, those that are on holiday. And undertake for us all until next Sunday. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.